I am in the book of Hebrews, chapter number 11, tonight. Praise God. Our text tonight, most of us could quote it. And praise God. Hebrews chapter number 11. Amen. Verse number 1. Now faith is the substance of things hoped for and the evidence of things not seen. Skip into verse number 6. But without faith it is impossible to please Him. For he that cometh to God must believe that He is, and that He is a rewarder of them that diligently seek Him. Praise God. I know we've heard this preached many times. I've preached from this setting many times. And I don't come to you tonight with anything new. But I've seen it from a different perspective. And so I pray that this will help somebody out here tonight. Praise God. Why don't we just lift our voice and let's thank God for His Word. God, Your Word is a lamp unto our feet, a light unto our path, that illuminates the ways. God, You're able to show us what we can do, how we can do it. Lord Jesus, Your Word teaches us, Your Word leads us, Your Word guides us. God, Your Word illuminates, Lord, before us. Hallelujah, Jesus, Your Word helps us. I pray, God, that it would do that here tonight. God, You see the way that the enemy is trying to come in like a flood. And I pray, God, that You would raise up a standard against it. Lord, and that the banner of faith, oh God, that the shield of faith would rise up in this place tonight, God. In the name of Jesus, in the name of Jesus, in the name of Jesus, in the name of Jesus. Hallelujah. Why don't you just go ahead and thank God. Go ahead and ask God to touch your faith tonight. Go ahead and ask God to help your faith tonight. Amen. Go ahead and tell yourself, I'm going to get faith tonight. Amen. I'm going to get a little extra help in my faith department tonight in Jesus' name. Jesus, I'm accepting Your Word tonight. Believing Your Word tonight. Praise God. Praise God. Praise God. Hallelujah. Now clap your hands and give Him praise. Praise God. Amen and amen. And God bless you, and you may be seated. Praise God. Hebrews is an extremely interesting book. And I have read several books on the book of Hebrews, and I probably have done exactly what a lot of these books have done. For instance, I don't know how many that I have begun to read about Hebrews and stuff, and I've ordered them in. Most of my books I order in used, and so they've already got some writing and some underlining and stuff in there, and typically it goes for about 1.5 to 2 chapters, and then it just stops. And so Hebrews is that type of a book. Hebrews is the type of book that you have good intentions when you crack it open and start reading it, but if you're not disciplined to really dig into it, you'll quit. And the reason that you quit is because Hebrews, descriptions of the book of Hebrews is that Hebrews is the New Testament version of the entire Old Testament. Amen. The New Testament version of the entire Old Testament. So in about 13 chapters, you're cramming some 29 or 30 books into it. And you're trying to learn, and you're going to hear and learn about the tabernacle and the temple and the priest and the high priest and Melchizedek and the Egyptians and the Israelites and coming out of Egypt and sundry times and all this, and then it's also going to combine in with the New Testament and such like that. But really the bottom line is that when you take it and you throw all of this into a funnel, and as it comes down into that little spout that just pours out down there, it comes out and it's just spelled D-O-C-T-R-I-N-E. And that's what Hebrews is. Hebrews is doctrine. It's doctrine. Amen. It is doctrine. It's not necessarily stories. It's not to pique your interest, to hold your interest. And even though that it is there, it's the schoolmaster. It's teaching you. There we find where he said that the scriptures, that the Old Testament was our schoolmaster to bring us unto Christ. And it was a shadow of things that were to come. And Hebrews begins to explain the shadows and stuff. But if you don't know the shadows and stuff, then you can become lost very, very quickly. But Hebrews is a very intensive book, a very interesting book. And so I think that ironically, in all of this, as we look at Hebrews, and you go over into the book of Hebrews there in chapter 12 and chapter 13, and you'll see that there is a cloud of witnesses. And so he's like, well, who are these witnesses and such? And I can play both sides of the fence in all of this. I could play both sides in all this. Somebody says, well, the cloud of witnesses, those are all the ones that have gone on before us. Well, then why is the dead in Christ going to rise? I mean, if the dead in Christ are already the cloud of witnesses sitting up there looking down on us, then what's the trumpet of the Lord? The Bible said that when the trumpet sounds, that the dead in Christ are going to rise. And then we which are alive and remain shall be caught up together with them in the clouds. And so shall we be with them forever. And so anyways, it's just a mystical book that you can get into, and you can definitely understand it and such. But I think that ironically, with its the mystical part of it and being able to comprehend and to understand, and then you know, it's like, well, who is Melchizedek, and who was Melchizedek's parents? And all of these questions are just born out of the book of Hebrews and stuff. I think that it is ironic that we don't know who the author is. We really don't know who the author is. There's a lot of guesstimations. There is a lot of ideas and stuff as such. But when it really comes down to it, we really do not know who that the author is. Somewhere or another, I've got it written down of everybody that I have heard that has been included in writing the book of Hebrews. We'll get to it somewhere down there, but Hebrews is a book of doctrine, amen. Just like the book of Romans, the book of Galatians, Ephesians, Colossians, all of these books are largely occupied by doctrine. Romans tells of the coming out of bondage. Ephesians is the entering into the banquet house. Hebrews is going up to the throne. And then we could even talk about 1 John's epistle of abiding in the presence of God. Romans declares the divine righteousness which we are to receive. Ephesians, the divine fullness which we are to realize. Hebrews, the divine nearness in which we are to rejoice. And then again, 1 John, the divine oneness which we are to respond to. And so with this, we ask, well, who wrote all of this? I told you I'd find it here in just a minute. Praise God. But for the most part, it has been ascribed and also denied unto the Apostle Paul. And that is probably the most prominent individual that is given credit for writing the book of Hebrews, is that it is Paul. But at the same time, the people that would state, well, here's why we feel like it was Paul, there are others that stay and say, well, here's why we feel that it's not Paul. Obviously, in all of the other Pauline epistles, Paul addresses himself. And he talks about it. He said, "Paul, I, Paul, a servant of Jesus Christ." He talks about greeting them and such. But in the book of Hebrews, you do not find that. And so it has also been suggested that maybe Luke wrote it, Apollos, Barnabas. He probably holds about second place there. Philip, and then I even found another one today, and some people said that maybe Priscilla was the one that wrote it. I don't know. I don't. I don't really think that. If I had to put my guesstimation in on it, I would say that it was Paul. But I also found something else that was pretty interesting, because a lot of people said that it was written in the language of Luke, and that is why that Luke is often given credit for writing it. But there's other reasons there. And so somebody came out and said that it could very well be that Paul was the one that wrote it, but that he wrote it in Hebrew, and that Luke translated it into Greek. And therefore, it has got that Greek. It's got the Pauline flavor, but it's got the Greek. It's got the Pauline flavor, but it's got the Luke language that is attributed to that. And the bottom line is that it really does not matter who wrote it. We just need to know that it is canonical. It is given unto us. It is a part of the New Testament. It is a part of our scriptures. It is inspired of God. And we believe that every word of God is that. It is inspired by the Spirit of God. And so the destination is clear, that the writer is addressing the Hebrew Christians. And these are people who are having issues converting from Judaism unto Christianity, not near as much as to them whom who James wrote to, but rather to those who did not still have a complete revelation. Last night in our Bible study, we began to talk about the purpose of the book of James, and that his writing, and he was writing unto a brand spanking new Christians who had come out of a world of Judaism. And they were all about temples and tabernacles and temple tax and dietary laws and phylacteries and all of these other things. And then all of a sudden Christ came, and now they are being baptized in his name and filled with the Spirit. And so they just turned around and they give a big yee-haw and kicked all of that old stuff out, and all of a sudden they embraced the world of faith, and they just said, faith, 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 just a little. I think they're the ones that wrote that song, faith, 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 just a little bit of faith, and that's all that they had, just faith, faith, faith. And on their way out the door, James reaches out and grabs them by the coattail and pulls them back, and he said, hold on a second. He said, you know, faith without works is dead. And he said, show me your faith by your works. He said, I'll show you my faith. He said, show me your faith without works. And he said, I'll show you my faith by my works. And so he was dealing with the completely new converted Jews that was there and trying to find their way around. And this is the beginning of the church, so they don't really have a church to go to. It's just anointed men of God that are inspired by God and that can see the way. And they say, hey, you know what? Hold on a second. You swung way to the left. You need to slow it down, or you're going to be way too far to the right. And we see that the book of Hebrews is dealing with this to an extent, but not to the same extent that James dealt with in his epistle. But the writer of Hebrews is talking to these newly converted Hebrew Christians, and they recognized the obligation of the law and were at least conversant with the temple worship. And more than likely, they had not fully perceived what was involved in Christianity, or the abrogation of the Levitical sacrifices and the transitoriness or the temporariness of the temple services. They did not understand, just as we are here today, and we do have an understanding of it, but they did not comprehend the fullness of the shadows that the temple or the tabernacle represented. At the point in time, they were seen through a glass darkly. And so the writer begins to explain to them, begins to bring enlightenment to them, so that they can see, that they can begin to understand. And he is going to take this, the purpose of all of this is that he is reaching way back to the beginning of Genesis and pulling it through Exodus and all of the way through into the Old Testament. And at the same time, with a firm grip upon these ways and these laws and these works, he reaches with his right hand and he grabs faith. And he takes the two and he says that it's got to take both of these to work. And he makes a great quest to pull them together, and not just to pull them together, but to bind them and to knit them and to tie them together so that the Christian would understand that yes, there are works, because we're going to understand the purpose of the shadows that was of the Old Testament and how that and what they represent in the New Testament. And then we're going to take it and we're going to get a good dose of faith in it, and as the prophet in Habakkuk, as he would state and say that the soul is lifted up is not right in him, but the just shall live by his faith. Praise God. And so the writer is going to allude to that in his epistle as he brings this out. I think that it is very unique that Paul does this at least twice. And if he is the writer of the book of Hebrews, then he does it no less than three times. But in the book of Romans chapter number 1, we would see that the writer goes and references Habakkuk 2 and 4, that the just shall live by his faith. And Paul, writing to the Roman church in 1 and 18 of Romans, he said that the righteous by faith shall live. And his emphasis in his collective thought here is upon the righteous. He is talking about the righteous and how that Abraham's faithfulness was counted, or Abraham's righteousness was counted as faithful, being faithful to him. In the book of Galatians, Paul writes in chapter 3 and verse number 11, and he says the same words, that the righteous by faith shall live. But the emphasis in the book of Galatians is upon faith. It's not upon the subject of righteousness. It's not upon living right and being right and having everything right. But now Paul is emphasizing the word faith, and the righteous by faith are going to live. And so he gives clarification and emphasis upon faith. But in the book of Hebrews, it is the same wording. And we would see that the writer speaks and pens, and he says that the righteous by faith shall live. And the emphasis is put upon life. Amen. And so we understand what the writer is getting to. Amen. That it's not just the keeping of the law, and it's not just faith in all of these things, but it's going to culminate and come to a place that you can have life. Praise God. And that's what it's all about. Amen. What joy is there when you're just walking around and everything is a duty? For that's what even Solomon said. Amen. Hear the whole duty of man. Love God and keep his commandments. Amen. That was Solomon's premise. Amen. To just do what was right. Righteous, 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 righteous. But we would see that it was also Solomon that says, I've tried everything under the sun. I've done all of these things. I've planted gardens. I've built houses. I've had the pipers pipe. I've had the musicians play. I've had the choir sing. I've done all of these things. And he said, there's just no joy in the world. He said, and I perceive that all of this also is vanity and vexation of spirit. And so we see that just living the law, even as the writer would state, that the law, amen, that the letter killeth, but the spirit giveth life. And there is Solomon trying to just obey the letter of the law. But we would see that he would have idols, and he would have multiple wives, hundreds of wives and concubines, and setting up groves to the goddesses and idols there. But we see a man by the name of David, who was Solomon's father. And David had a different precept and a concept about it.
as he said, thy law have I hid in my heart that I might not sin against God. There was something in him, amen, that he had faith that if he did these things, that it was going to produce life with inside of him. And that's where the writer of Hebrews is going today. He said, hey, there's some things that we cannot forsake, but there's some other things that we've got to add. And when we add them together, you know what it's going to do? It's going to spark a fire in your life. It's going to light something up in your life. You're going to walk a little bit lighter. You're going to hold your head a little bit higher. You're going to have a smile upon your face. You're going to love living this way instead of feeling like it's a drudgery. Praise God. Oh, that's the way that I choose and desire to live. And so as we walk into Hebrews chapter number 11, we see that this chapter deals with faith that enables a man to live and not merely to enter into the blessing of salvation, but to retain them from the beginning to the close of his earthly life. And so he starts off and he states, amen, that faith is the substance of things hoped for and the evidence of things not seen. Amen, it is imperative that we look at that simple little word is. And even though it seems so small, so minuscule, so trivial, amen, that it's so easy to pass by, yet that simple little word is, amen, holds, amen, an enormous amount of weight upon its shoulder, because the word is makes the whole declaration emphatic. Amen, that little word is simply means, amen, I've got a conviction. That simple little word in, amen, is, and is showing the emphatic declaration, and it is showing or giving emphasis, it is expressing something forcefully and clearly. Amen. It's, I've got a revelation. I've got a conviction that what I'm getting ready to say is true. And you can take it to the bank and we'll stand upon it while all of the rest of the world falters and crumbles. I'm going to stand upon this. What are you going to stand upon? I'll declare it unto you. Faith is. Faith is. Faith is the substance. Amen. Of things hoped for. I have no question. I have no doubt. There's no confusion in my mind. I've got a revelation. How do you have a revelation? Because I've been down the road. I've had a few tests along the way. And because of the test and because of the trial, amen, I've come through with a testimony. And I can stand here today and say, faith is the substance of things hoped for and the evidence of things not seen. Faith is described as twofold, in that faith is the foundation of things hoped for. It is the conviction or the proof of things not seen. That word rendered substance, faith is the substance, can also be translated to mean that faith is the foundation. And when you think about that, if I tell you that there is a foundation, amen, for the Bible teaches us about the wise man and the foolish man. And the Bible said that the wise man built his house upon a rock foundation. The substance was rock. The substance was hard. The substance was solid. Amen. But the foolish man built his house upon a foundation of sand. And there was substance. But the substance was capable, amen, of shifting. The substance was capable of erosion. But there was a substance. And so the writer says that faith is. There's the declaration. But Faith is the substance. There is something here, amen, that we can stand upon. There is something here that I'm pulling in to testify. There is something here that I'm calling into a court of law to be a testimony before me. It is the foundation, amen. There is the basis of all of this. And so somebody says, well, what is the substance? Amen. The substance is simply the Word of God. Here it is today. You've got to get a revelation that every Word of God is pure and that every Word of God is true. You've got to get a revelation that if God be for us, then who can be against us? How are you going to get this revelation? You've got to get back in the book. You've got to find the promises of God. Amen. The Bible said that His promises are yea and amen. The Bible teaches us that in Him there is no variableness, neither shadow of turning. But you're not going to have this revelation reading a GQ magazine. You're not going to have this revelation staying on the sports page. You're not going to have this revelation finding the stats of your team and your players. In order to get this revelation, you got to get in the book. You got to get a revelation with the Master, a relationship with the Master. Amen. These people were able to stand and to declare this because they had spent time with Him. They had been through the valleys with Him. They had seen the highs and the low. And today they can stand and say, faith is the substance of things hoped for. Word of God, the Word of God, the Word of God. When you've got the Word of God hidden in your heart, you're not going to sit around wringing in your hands. When you've got the Word of God hidden in your heart, it's hard to walk around with your head held down and thinking to yourself as you fret and you stress about life, what am I going to do? What am I going to do? How is this going to work out? You say, Pastor, amen, you've never been there. You've never done that. Oh, yes, I have. But you know what that tells me? I got to get back to the book. I've got to get closer to Him, because the closer I get to Him, the more I understand Him. The closer I get to Him, the greater revelation I have of Him. And the closer I get to Him, the more confidence that I have in Him. Faith is the substance. Praise God. Amen. The vital question is not, do we believe? But rather the question is, whom do we believe? That's the question. Whom do we believe? Do we choose to believe the doctor? Do we choose to believe the lawyers? Do we choose to believe the financial assistance? Do we choose to believe, amen, the government? Do we choose to believe the politicians? Do we choose to believe friends and families? Do we choose to believe, amen, the bankers? Do you choose to believe, amen, whatever and wherever that it is, whatever you fill in the blank, you put the, amen, you put the answer in the blank right there. Amen, I just want to know whom do you choose to believe? But when you've been close to the Master, it doesn't really matter what the doctor says. Come on, somebody. I'm talking about faith here tonight. I'm talking about my faith. I'm talking about your faith. Amen. When you've been close to the Master, it doesn't matter what the lawyer says, because you've got a revelation. Amen. That no weapon that is formed against me shall prosper. And the lawyer looks at you and says, you're ultimately crazy. What are you trying to say? And you say, I got a revelation. I got an understanding that if God doesn't want this to happen to me, it's not going to happen to me. And the doctor looks and said, I just told you that you have cancer. Amen. How can you say that? I've got a revelation with the Master. Amen. I've got a proclamation with Him. I can able to stand and I'm able to say, faith is. Faith is. Faith is. Faith is. Amen. That's what the devil wants to take from you. He wants to take your revelation. I feel the Holy Ghost here right now. The devil wants to take your revelation. He wants to take your testimony. He wants to put one up on you. But I'm encouraging you tonight to stand on the word of God. Let God be true and every man a liar. Amen. It doesn't matter what the enemy says. It doesn't matter what the enemy throws. In the end, if God says it's okay, then it'll all be okay. But if God says you're not coming this way, then it's not going to happen. Rejoice not against me, oh mine enemy. I've got a revelation. Faith is when I fall, I shall arise. And when I sit in darkness, the Lord shall be a light unto me. The more you read about him, the more you're going to understand about him. The more that you read about him, the more you're going to appreciate him. The more that you talk with him, the greater revelation you're going to have of him. Amen. You're not going to be able to do more than just speak it. You're going to be able to do more than just quote it. But you're going to be able to say emphatically, if God be for us, then who can be against us? Oh, let's give him praise today. Come on, somebody needs to accept this here right now. Hallelujah. I'm telling somebody here right now, it's time for you to step out of the boat. It's time for you to step over the edge of the boat. You're looking around at everybody else and you're saying, oh, I believe it for them. I believe God can heal them. I believe God can touch them. I believe that God can come through for them. I'm preaching to them, but I'm preaching to you too. I want to know, what can God do for you? Amen. What can God do to help you? What prayer do you have that isn't answered yet? Amen. What desire do you have that's not fulfilled yet? My Bible says, delight yourself in the Lord and he shall. I've got a revelation. I've got a declaration. Faith is, he shall give you the desires of your heart. Oh, yeah, the devil doesn't want you to get this revelation. He doesn't want you to feel it. Amen. This is the spark that starts the fire. Amen. Faith is the enlightenment. Faith is the spark. And without faith, it is impossible to please God. But when you've got faith, there's no part of hell that can overcome you. There's no part of hell that can defeat you. When you've got faith, you can say unto this mountain, be thou removed and cast into the sea, and it shall be so. Hallelujah, hallelujah. Amen. Faith makes the atmosphere volatile. Amen. That's what the devil understands. When people begin to get faith, it doesn't matter how much that he wants to huff and puff and blow your house down. You are able to stand against him and open the door and say, devil, amen, God is the head of this household. Devil, my house belongs to him. My finances belong to him. My health belongs to him. And through all of it, I shall continue to have faith. Faith gets rid of the what ifs. Faith gets rid of, amen, the mites. Faith gets rid of the maybes. Faith gets rid of the confusion. Faith gets rid of all of those things. They're enemies, amen, to the measure of faith. Amen, I'm just encouraging you today. You say, I don't have that much faith. You don't need a whole lot of faith. All you got to do is have the faith as of a mustard seed. It may not be very big, but it's able to do great things. It's able to do big things. It may be small, but in the end, it shall be great. I'm here to encourage you tonight that you don't have to accept the devil's answer as the final answer. I'm here to tell you tonight you don't even have to accept your current situation as the final answer. Oh yeah, I could preach for a long time here right now. Amen, but just let me declare it unto you. You do not have to accept. Amen, your situation. You do not have to accept. Amen, the environment that you are currently in. Amen, I just want you to know tonight that if you'll have faith, there is a greater reward. Oh yeah, they had faith and they did not see, amen, their loved ones delivered. But they continued to have faith. Amen. And there was a greater. Why do you have faith? Just for temporary reprieve right here? No. I've got faith that's going to carry me all the way into eternity. And if God chooses not to heal me, I'm still going to have faith because God is. I feel in the Holy Ghost to tell somebody to quit praying like a man pampered prayers. You're coming unto the King of Kings and you're saying, God, pretty please, maybe could it be so? Amen, amen. The reason that you're praying like that is because you doubt. You've got doubt in your heart. You've got doubt in your mind. Amen. You've got the what ifs. I'm going to pray this, but what if it doesn't come to pass? Amen. I'm going to pray, but what if it doesn't happen? I want you to pray, amen, for faith until the what ifs have to leave. Until the what ifs, amen, are no longer comfortable hanging around. Amen. Just declare it and pray it. Amen. I'm not preaching blab it and grab it. Amen. I'm not preaching prosperity. I'm preaching the promise of God. Amen. I don't care what the charismatics, amen, have watered it all down to. Jesus said, if you ask, you're going to receive. If you knock, the door's going to be open. If you seek, you're going to find it. You've got a declaration. You've got an emphatic, amen, substance about this. I can say faith is. I can say faith is because I know. I want somebody to start reaching out here tonight. I want somebody to begin to reach out by faith. Hallelujah. Do you really want it? Amen. Do you really want it? Are you happy? Are you content with where you are? Amen. Do you really want deliverance? Come on, some of you have been fighting trying to get deliverance in your life. Amen. Do you really want deliverance? Or are you just, amen, you just okay believing the devil say, no, you're just going to have to deal with this for the rest of your life. Devil, you're a liar. You're a liar. Amen. The Bible said that he's going to put you under my feet. I'm going to walk on top of all of this. Amen. That he's going to give me power. Amen. Over all the power of the enemy. Amen. Come on. You need to get some faith in your heart. Amen. Instead of trying to see. Amen. Maybe we can just make it. I don't have that testimony. I've been struggling all day long. I've just been trying to. Amen. That's not the will of God. Amen. God wants you to live victorious. Hallelujah. God wants to put a prayer in your heart, a testimony on your lips. You're not going to get a testimony until you go through the valley, but you can come up out of it and you can be like David and say, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil, for you're with me. You're with me. How do you know, David? I've already been there. I've already been there. As a matter of fact, I've dined with devils. Hallelujah. I said, I dine with devils. Amen. Because thou preparest a table before me in the presence of mine enemies. Right in the middle of my enemies. Amen. You put a table there. And you said, son, sit down and feast for a little while. I'm going to give you strength in the presence of your enemies. I'm going to give you help. I'm going to give you rest in the presence of your enemies. I don't care if hell is encamped around you. I don't care if hell, amen, has overwhelmed you. God is able to step in and to provide a table right there in the midst of your enemies. Faith is, I got a revelation. I've got substance. I've got scriptures. Hallelujah. Amen. Amen. Faith takes the impossible and makes it possible. I've got scriptures. Oh, bless the Lord. Bless the Lord. Bless the Lord. Come on, God wants to do something right now. Hallelujah, hallelujah. Come on, God wants to do something right now. I want you to be sensitive to the Lord. Hallelujah, hallelujah, hallelujah. If you've got a problem that's been hanging around too long, right now is your night. Amen. Tonight is your night. Today is your day. Amen. Right now is the time. Hallelujah. Come on, don't get quiet on me right now. This is where faith has to step out of the boat. Do you have substance? Do you have evidence? Do you have a revelation? Come on. Come on. Come on. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. This is where faith beckons you. Come on, it's time to step out right now. In the name of Jesus, are you tired of dealing with it? You're tired of trying to overcome it by the law. You're tired, amen, of trying to do it just because you're trying to keep righteous and you're trying to do everything right. Amen. Now's the time to put faith in it. Amen. There is righteousness in all of this. And there is faith in it. And amen. When you put the two together, it's going to bring life back to you. You've been struggling. You've been feeling the death of the spirit in your life. You've been feeling like you're slowly drying up on the vine. Amen. Today, revelation is coming down to your house and talking to you. You got to get back in the book. You got to live right. But you better put some faith in it. Amen. Without God, I can do nothing. But on the other hand of all of this, nothing shall be impossible through Christ Jesus. Come on, I cannot take your hand and take you out of the boat. Amen. I cannot make it happen for you. Amen. It's not my faith. Amen. It's got to be your faith. I just simply want to know tonight, do you have the substance? Do you have the evidence? Are you ready to step out? Are you ready to declare? Amen. Faith is the substance. I got a revelation. Faith is. Faith is. Faith is. Amen. Don't be afraid that the devil's going to whip you tonight. Don't be afraid that the devil's going to whip you tomorrow. Don't be afraid that the devil's going to overcome you. Don't be afraid that that prayer's not going to be answered. Don't be afraid to pray it because, amen, it may not be answered. I'm encouraging you tonight, amen, with force, with faith. I'm encouraging you to declare it. I'm encouraging you, amen, to pray it. Amen, speak it into existence. Speak it into existence. Even now, let your faith begin to speak it into existence.